So I want us to really focus on what we are wearing today. Do you even know what you're wearing? Some of you probably just go in your closet and just grab something. Without looking down, do you know what you're wearing today? Mary's like, I know, Green Bay Packers, of course. I would have known that. You wouldn't have to look at you, I would have known that. Often, when you're tired and you just are in a rush, you go in and you just grab something and put it on. And then sometimes throughout the day, you're like, gosh, did I really just put this on? But why was it even in your closet? If it looks so bad, why do we hold on to it? It doesn't fit us anymore. I mean, maybe, you know, sometimes people have gone on diets and lost a lot of weight. They've gotten healthy, right? I'm going to eat healthy. They lose their weight. But they still wear the same clothes. It's time to look into your closet and get rid of those things that no longer fit you. You see, God has clothed us with all kinds of new clothing. Have you ever seen the show What Not to Wear? If you have, raise your hands. Okay. Stacy and Clinton. I used to love watching that show. Thank God nobody ever chose me to go on there. But you would find friends or family who really dressed really bad. And you would volunteer them to go on national TV to be humiliated in front of everyone. And put on their clothes. They would say, bring your clothes up to New York. And usually they're from, like, you know, Portsmouth, Alabama, or Arkansas, or somewhere in Alabama. They would bring all their clothes to New York City, right? The head of fashion. And they would put them in this mirror that was surround. It was a surround mirror to see every angle. Now, the people would come in. They would show, you know, footage that they would take of the people, and they would be all dressed, you know, and they'd be like, well, I don't remember wearing that. Oh, yeah, I remember. Oh, gosh, that doesn't look so good. They said, no, get your best outfits, and let's go ahead and put them on in the mirror and tell us about them. And they would look in the mirror, and they'd say, ooh, gosh, it looks a little different here. I never knew it looked that way from the back. I always saw it from the front. And how is it in our lives that we put on things, and the front it may look good, but the back just doesn't fit us. It doesn't fit God. It doesn't fit who we are. It's completely different. So what they would do is they would give them a credit card for $5,000. Woo, sounds good. They would say, go out. And they would be like, woo, yes, I'm ready. Go to New York. And they say, now get rid of everything that you brought. Wow. That's the hard part. So we're all about getting the new clothes. We're all about getting the new stuff. But we still want to keep the old stuff. And what happens if we do that is you may buy all the new stuff and put it in the same closet as the old stuff. And the new stuff gets lost. Because we have a tendency to still go back to the old stuff. Even though it doesn't fit us. Even though it's not new. There might be holes in it. Even though it looks terrible on us, we still have a tendency to go back to those old things because we're comfortable in them. They're us. We grew up in that. We know this. And we're comfortable. So when God says, here's a brand new suit, we still go back to that old one that's ratted and torn from the 80s. We might change the hair, thank God. But we still go back to that because it's comfortable. It's more comfortable to put on that robe of shame than it is that robe of grace because we were so used to that robe. Grace scares people. Greasy grace. You ever heard that girl? Greasy grace. Well, grace is grace. And grace means nothing is expected of me. Wow. That's a powerful concept. That is a mind-blowing, spirit-changing, powerful concept that nothing is required for me but to receive it. That's grace. That's God. He is not looking at a tick list saying, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, 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 bad. God, I messed up. Grace. God, I did good. Grace. God, I love you. Grace. God, I hate you. Grace. It is always about grace. Period. Powerful, huh? So we are clothed in grace. What else has God clothed us in? In Ezekiel 16, it says, I clothe you with an embroidered dress. Ooh, I like that. Not the dress part, but the embroidered part. I clothed you with an embroidered dress and put sandals of fine leather on you. I like leather sandals. I dressed you in fine linen and covered you with costly garments. God did that for us. Yet we go back to that old, tattered polyester coat that doesn't even fit. When this is what he's given us. In Isaiah 61, it says, I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has clothed me with the garment of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. Let's put on salvation today and righteousness. Don't you want that? Instead of gay, straight, black, white, bad, lazy, boring, thief, gossip. Ooh, give me the other. I want to wear that other. He's clothed us with wonderful garments. Second Chronicles, this is about Hezekiah. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old. That sounds pretty young for a king, right? Oh, let me just tell you this. So when I go on these trips to teach, you know, I do travel agency stuff on the side. A lot of that comes out of my pocket. Even though Ed works for an airline, I still have to pay the taxes and all the fees and all of those things when I fly. If I look at a hotel or visit a tour place, I can write that off. It works out good, right? So God has enabled that part of it. So I always say, okay, I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to contact a hotel or somebody there. It's legal. I'm not doing anything illegal. It's part of my job. I have a contact in New York, who's the head of the tourism board for Sweden in the U.S. He put me in contact with the head of the tourism board for Sweden in Stockholm. Her name is Christina. So I said, Christina, Magnum sent me to you. She goes, oh, great. She said, you know, it's great to meet you. And I said, I'm from Valerie Wilson, which is a great agency. I work for a great company, so they all know them. She says, what would you like to see? I said, I would love to see the Ice Hotel. You saw pictures? It was wonderful. I said, I don't know if it's possible. She goes, it's possible. I can get you in. I know the owner really well. He's a really good friend. Why don't we have lunch with him? Like, praise God. She said, it's going to cost to fly up there, but she says, we'll take care of it. I'll get Scandinavian Airlines to get your ticket for you so you're not a problem. Like, sweet. So we fly from Stockholm to there on one day, and on the way there, I begin to share about me. And, you know, she goes, oh, I said I have a partner and all this. I said, I'm actually a pastor. She goes, a pastor too? Like, I am. And I said, it's a LGBT church. She goes, oh, my son's gay. Like, of course. So she said, he's a designer. He lives in Stockholm. And he and his partner have been together for 3 years. He's gay. I would love to see him get involved in church. So she's like, when is your book out? I'm like, well, the book's come out. So all that. Anyway, it's amazing when God does the connections. I sit back and I say, he just does it. We don't have to go look for it. If we're just doing what he's telling us to do, the connections will come. But you know what it takes? An awareness of others. That's where we get stuck. If I'm so worried about myself, I wouldn't be looking for those opportunities. Listen, this is important. Being in tune to what people are saying, and I would say, ooh, wait a minute. When she told me her son was again, I'm like, God, I know what you're going to do. And I just began to share about the book and about that. And I said, so, you know, does he go to church? No, I love to get him in church. It's really about those connections that he makes. And he can make them here in Atlanta or places you work at, places you travel to, in school, at the insurance company. Be attuned to those things because you are the church. And it's about you really sharing God with other people. Yesterday, I get a Facebook request from a cousin of mine. Her name is Kathleen. She's in her 60s. I haven't seen Kathleen since I was 5 because part of my family was in the mafia. We've told you this, right? As all of you get really scared right now. My dad's side of the family, his dad, they were in the mafia in New Orleans. So I was only to my mother's side and then my immediate cousins on my dad's side. Like I say, at Thanksgiving, we're all around the table. My Aunt Elise is like, oh, I heard from Cousin Vincenzo. My dad said, oh, he's out of jail? And we're like, who's Vincenzo? Jail? What? So I don't know any of these people. And someone, friend requested me yesterday on Facebook. I have two Facebook accounts. It's my other Facebook account. She says, I responded on a friend of mine from school. His daughter had a fire in her house. So I put, oh, we're praying for you and all this. And well, she saw my name. And so she said, are you so-and-so's son, Gasper's son? I'm like, oh, well, I'm not. But there's another Keith Perry, and he's a cousin. It did cause problems growing up, I'll tell you. She said, I want to refer request you. You're my cousin, yet we don't know anything about you. I don't want to say, yeah, we weren't allowed to do anything with you. But anyway, we spoke a little bit on Facebook. It was great. All of a sudden, you know how you get the suggestions? Her nephew pops up. His name is Zach. And guess what his profile picture is? Equal sign. I'm like, this is making more sense. So I wrote him and said, I'm your cousin, and we have a lot in common. I sent him a picture of Ed and I. And then I sent a picture of the equal sign. He said, wow, that's awesome. He goes, I didn't know I even had cousins. And all of a sudden, I'm finding this out. So long story short, we had a great conversation last night. I said, if you ever come to Atlanta, come visit. I'm a pastor, all this kind of stuff. My other cousin who just came out is going to be here in March. He's going to attend church with us. So it's like, you never know what it's about. But it's just being open to those things. But God still does it. It's not just about her friending, requesting me. That's what I'm trying to get to you. Look for more. There's a reason these things are taking place. And I said, God, there's a reason she's doing this. It's more than just her wanting to get to know me. It might not even be about her. And I don't think it was. I think it's about Zach. Amen? Okay, I'll digress. Hezekiah, 25, became king when he was 25 and was king in Jerusalem for 29 years. His mother was Abiah, daughter of Zechariah. In God's opinion, he was a good king. That's nice. He kept to the standards of his ancestor David. On the first day of the first month of the year of his reign, he repaired the doors of the temple. He assembled the priests and Levites in the court on the east side and said, Levites, listen. Now, in the Old Testament, the Levites were the priests. They're the ones that worshiped God. Let's go fast forward to New Testament. That veil is rent. There's no more temple. You are all Levites. You see, we are the one that present our worship and offering to God. So he says, Levites, listen. So church, listen. Consecrate yourself and consecrate the temple of God. Give this place a good house cleaning. Where is the temple of God? In the Old Testament, it was an established temple. They had to go in there because that's where the glory of God dwelt. After the cross, when the veil was rent, that did away with the Old Testament. There was no more temple. Paul says what? We are the temples. So this verse is saying, the temple of God, get a good house cleaning. Say, I need a good house cleaning. God, clean me up. Father, we declare that you are going to clean us up, that you are going to take those things that are old in our life, those things that do not fit us anymore, and that you're going to teach us to put on your grace, your righteousness, and your holiness in Jesus' name. We declare that in Jesus' name. Amen? New year, new clothes. So we're starting a new year. This is my first sermon of the new year. As a pastor, I implore you, get new clothes. But they're already paid for. Even better. Wear the new clothes that God has already paid for in your life. They are there in your closet, but you have so much other stuff that you can't even see them. So get the new clothes, amen? Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. So it's time to clean out that closet. There is a scripture, and Pastor Deb kind of alluded to a little bit about wine, which is interesting. I was going to go into this. And Jesus tells his disciples, you can't put new wine into old wineskins. Have you heard that? Why? Because they burst. They burst. Do you know why? Most people don't have a first date at the vineyard, right? I did. My first day with Ed, our first date really was in Napa at the vineyards. Not too bad, huh? He's like, oh, I'm going to stay with this one. But we went and it was fascinating to go because you listen to them how they make the wine. You could actually go and actually try the grapes and taste the grapes, and which were not very good. I mean, they're not the grapes that you buy in the store. They're horrible, honestly. But it shows you the different grapes and all of the things and that you can put in it. But it goes through the process of making wine. I started doing some research after that because it made so much sense when I saw this. You see, wine, when it ferments, now ferment really means go bad. When it starts to spoil, it releases carbon dioxide. Now, we think about wineskins, you think about the Spaniard, you know, with that little bitty thing, and he's like this. That's not what he's talking about. The wineskins were actually skins of animals. They would cut the head off, take all the inside out, say like a goat, and his whole body, the rest of the skin, is where they would pour the wine in. The wine would actually release off carbon dioxide, but because it was corked, it would stretch, and then when it was done, it was stored in that skin. If you took off that cork and poured new wine, the same process would take place. But by this time, the skin was no longer elastic. It was brittle, so it would bust. He said, and Jesus says to his disciples, you cannot put new wine, which is him. He's the vine. We're the branches. The new wine. You can't put his life, his grace, into our old way of thinking in our own life. Otherwise, it's going to burst. So we have to get a new wineskin. We have to have our new garment. So it's time to start cleaning out our old stuff with our new. How do we do that? Let's take this. Stacey and Clint, I got this shirt when I was on Trading Spaces. And it was such a great show. And it's, my memories are there. I know it was 15 years ago when that show was so passe and it's so odd. But man, this is just comfortable to me. You don't understand the memories with this, but it looks horrible on you. Yes, but you don't understand. This is who I was for one day. It was a great experience in my life, and I love to celebrate this, but it looks really bad on you. But this is comfortable. This is who I was. And you don't realize that in this shirt, what took place was a time in your life when you were full of anger. But this is my shirt. You see, this is who I am. And God is saying, no, I have new clothes for you. This was a time in your life when you were full of anger, but you're not that person anymore. I have changed you. Why do you keep going back to that place of rejection and anger in your closet and wearing clothes that no longer fit, that are outdated and out of style? Now, this one is a little better. It's a neutral color. I mean, you know, it's pretty masculine. I can go to the football game. Right? Is it football today? Yeah. I got a football. But you don't know that in this shirt was so much fear in your life. And you go around, and you know what? It might be behind here. In the front, you're fine. But then all of a sudden, something happens, and it sets off that fear. And the fear is here. So how do we solve this? How do we clean out their closet and put on new clothes? Let me show you. Dressing 101. Feeling much better. It's white. It's God. He's clothed me in his righteousness. And he's filled me with joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. God, today, it's going to be a rough day. So I'm going in my closet. I'm reaching for that joy. I need that garment of joy because I know it's going to be a hard day today. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is where I'm going to get fed. The joy of the Lord is going to make every path clear for me. I'm filled with joy because he is my joy. But then the next day comes and I say, you know what? Today I'm reaching for a garment of praise. Oh, Isaiah says, put on the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And today, I'm putting on the garment of praise. And you know how you do that? Say, Lord, you are faithful. Lord, you are good. Lord, you reign on high. Lord, you have redeemed me. God, you have saved me. Jesus, you have transformed me. Jesus, you have healed me. You are good. You are worthy of praise. I praise you. I adore you. I extol you. You are God. I praise you. That's how you put on our garment of praise. Let me tell you, there is nothing that's going to take place that day if you put that garment on that will defeat you if you live in that garment of praise. Because when it happens, I just look down and say, I'm sorry, I'm clothed in praise. And I'm going to do it again. As a close, the ABCs of praise. It's as easy as ABC. Go through the alphabet. Jesus, I praise you. You are A, the Ancient of Days. B, you are the bread of life. C, you are the cornerstone. D, you are deliverer. E, you are eternal. F, you are father. You are faithful. You are friend. G, you are good. H, you are healer. I. You are the I Am, incarnate one. J, you are Jehovah Jireh, every need. K, the King of Kings. L, the Lord of Lords. M, you are mighty God, mover of mountains. N, the name above all names. O, overcomer, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. P, Papa. You know that's what Abba means? Papa. Q, he's a quiet place of rest. R, he is the resurrection and the life. Restorer, redeemer, refuge. That's how he prays. S, he is Savior. T, he is the truth. V, he is the victorious one. U, he's the ultimate sacrifice for sin. W, he is the way, the truth, and the life. X, he has X-ray vision to see deep into our hearts. Y, he is Yeshua HaMashiach. And Z, he is the King of Mount Zion. You see, he's the Alpha, the A, to the Omega, the Z. Everything in between. And I'm putting on that garment of praise. You just begin to call out who he is. It's about him, not about us. I want you to take off those old clothes that are no longer yours, that don't fit, and that God did not give you, and start putting on those clothes that he did provide on the cross of Calvary through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Father, we thank you that you are the God who delivers, restores, and dresses us. And you dress us for success in the Spirit. I thank you for your blessings. I pray blessings over each person today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to declare something as we go, okay? So let's declare it. Say, Father, this week, I want you to remind me of what I'm wearing. If it's from you or it's from my past, give me the ability to understand that you have clothed me in grace, in peace, and in righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.